With a mission of informing voters and encouraging citizen participation in voting and civic life, 89.1 WEMU has teamed up with the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area to bring you In the Public Interest, a bi-weekly conversation to help keep you informed and up to date on all the activities along those lines happening in our area. This is Lisa Berry, and this week I'm joined by the Director of Communications for the local league, Susan Woolley. Welcome, Susan.
Hello, Lisa.
You've been a member of the Ann Arbor Area League of Women Voters for, what, about a dozen years now?
Just about, yes.
And as Communications Director, I'm sure you've been busy as the league sponsors many nonpartisan public events to inform voters. Can you tell us about some of those?
I'd be delighted to. I want to say first that the League has been doing public events from its founding almost 100 years ago. Our mission is to inform voters and encourage citizen participation in voting and civic life. And I want to add that we do not support or oppose candidates or political parties, but we do study and take positions on policy matters, and we work to educate listeners about issues in the public interest. And that leads into the idea of holding public events where people are invited to hear about issues of interest. You might be interested to know that the National League in 1952 moderated the first nationally televised presidential debates. They later hosted presidential debates from 1976 to 84. That was halted for a variety of reasons, and that's another story for another time.
Okay.
Locally, we sponsor a variety of public events, things like education about the redistricting proposal that will be on our fall ballot, we believe. We hold candidate forums before each primary and general election. These are mostly for Ann Arbor candidates in conjunction and partnership with the CTN television network. But we've had Ypsilanti forums, and I believe Dexter and Chelsea. We'd like to do more, but we just don't have the personnel to carry this off. But we will advise and consent groups who might like to hold a forum in their area. We've had a panel on privatization of government services. That included representatives from county, city, township, and school government, and it was a really interesting presentation. Just last year, we started holding monthly brews and views at area pubs where people gather informally, hear a presentation on a topic of interest, and then have a chance to talk and brainstorm about the issue, ask questions, share ideas.
And you had one of those just recently. How did that go?
Oh, they're very well attended. I have not been able to get to one, but the people who have reported that they've had a really great time. Frequently, we'll co-sponsor an event with another organization. We co-sponsor quite often with the Ann Arbor District Library, and they video their events that are held there, and these are available to view on demand. But a perfect example of one of these at the Ann Arbor Library was a panel discussion of carbon pricing that was held last February. And our guest, Ginny Rogers, today was one of the organizers for this program.
Welcome, Ginny.
Hi, thank you.
First of all, explain to us what we're talking about when we say carbon pricing.
What we don't think about is that when we burn fossil fuels, that has costs to our health and to the environment that aren't included in the price of the fossil fuels. So, for example, burning fossil fuels causes health risks to people that are in the area. It also causes damage to our environment in terms of climate change and storms and droughts and things like that. And we all pay for those costs. It's just not included in the price of the fossil fuels. So what we mean by pricing carbon is by putting a price on the fossil fuels so that they include those costs that are, you know, damaging to our health and environment.
Would the goal be that they're more expensive and perhaps not used as much?
The idea is to create the incentive for us to transition to cleaner energy. If you put a price on fossil fuels and make them more expensive, that will incentivize the transition to cleaner energy. The key is, you know, what you do with the revenue that you collect from pricing carbon. And there's different ways to do that. And that was the purpose of the panel discussion that we helped put on at the public library.
You hear about carbon footprints a lot. What does that mean, and how can we help improve that situation?
Carbon footprint means, you know, how much CO2 basically you as an individual are generating. And there's different ways that we use carbon or create it when we in our living. So we use it when we burn fossil fuels in our driving our car, heating our homes, cooking our food. But a large part of our carbon footprint comes from the products that we buy. In other words, fossil fuels are used in the raw materials and in the energy used to produce the goods that we buy and transport them to market. Whenever we buy products, there is a carbon footprint embedded. And you might not realize it, but a large part, or probably more than half, of our carbon footprint comes from the products that we buy. You know, the more stuff that you buy, the bigger your carbon footprint.
And I'm thinking that's something that the Citizens Climate Lobby based in Ann Arbor would want people to be more mindful about?
Yeah, it is. But one of the nice things about having a policy that prices carbon, if you do it on a national level, is that because it would impact all goods throughout the economy, you can reduce your fossil fuel use without thinking about it, because products that are manufactured with clean energy then would become relatively cheaper compared to products that are manufactured with fossil fuel. So we would tend to buy the products that are clean, and we would reduce our carbon footprint without even realizing it, just by buying cheaper goods.
How can we find out what those products are, or how we can contribute to that?
For example, if you have two mugs and one is manufactured in a plant that uses fossil fuels for energy and one is manufactured in a plant that uses renewable energy, the mug that's manufactured with renewable energy would be cheaper. And everything else being equal, we would just buy the cheaper mug, so you don't even have to know. It would just be based on the price.
And this is something you're working with U.S. senators and our members of Congress with.
Yes. Our organization, Citizens Climate Lobby, advocates for federal legislation. So the kinds of things that we do are geared towards influencing our members of Congress. So it means educating their constituents and letting them know, you know, what it would mean to put a price on carbon. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to hold the public forum with the League, because I think it's a, you know, it's a kind of hard concept to understand what it means to put a price on carbon and how would that impact us. So we wanted to provide, you know, education to the public so that down the road, when federal legislation is introduced, people understand what it would mean.
And education is one of the cores of In the Public Interest. You're listening to here on 89.1 WEMU. That is Ginny Rogers. She's with the Citizens Climate Lobby that recently partnered with the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area, where we heard from Susan Woolley, to co-sponsor one of the many events that they have here. And if you want to find out more information, you can see all the links. We'll put them on our webpage, WEMU.org. Susan, Ginny, thanks so much for joining us on In the Public Interest.
Well, thank you, Lisa.
Thanks so much for inviting me.